97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning. Thought I'd help you wake up.
It's 6 a.m. and you're listening to The John Kincaid Show, Philadelphia's longest running sports talk morning show on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Yeah, it does. And a happy holiday Friday, everybody. Hope everybody's in a good mood today as we look towards a long weekend, Memorial Day on Monday. Can't wait for it. So let's have some fun here for the next few hours here on the John Kincaid Show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas, Coach Eric Camille. We're all getting it done. We got Haley on the YouTube channel. I don't know if I've been as frustrated after a Philly loss, Jamie, as I was last night. But I'm still a little I hate to look at a Thursday night game or whatever, but yeah, last night ticked me off a little bit, and you texted me in the middle of it, and you didn't seem real happy about it either.
Yeah, I mean, you needed better from Aaron Nola, plain and simple. You know, the offense wasn't the problem last night, and then the starting pitching goes out and allows a run after every run they seem to get or tie the game or go ahead with, and, you know, the Castellanos slide that almost was to put him up 7-6.
What happened there? His foot just kind of hits the ground hard and bounces.
Yeah, I thought they got the right call.
Oh, I thought it was right also, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like his foot, like, he should have gone to the back corner of the plate instead of the front left corner.
But yeah, there wasn't much aiming going on with his foot. It was kind of just like, yeah, get down and see what happens.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I like sending him there, though.
Yeah, Dusty Watson made the right call, I thought.
Yeah. Make them make a play.
Yeah.
Yeah, frustrating as hell. It's, you know, Schwarber comes up with the clutch RBI double. You know, Stott continues to be hot. Bohm puts one deep in the seat. Harper hits the home run. You got what you got out of your offense. That shouldn't have been the problem. But Aaron Nola just went out there and gave back everything that the offense would give him.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot on Nola today because he is the lead story in my head today, and it's not a good one.
He's a very weird case.
I don't want to overreact to a Thursday night game, but
no, it's been all season.
Yeah,
pretty much. He hasn't been good enough.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was surprised. They flashed this up last night, Connor, that in his last seven starts, Nola was 4-1. With like a 3.50 ERA. So I guess he hasn't been all that bad, but he hasn't been anything that I was more surprised at that than anything else.
Well, I think that's because pitching everywhere is kind of bad.
Yeah, probably. You just can't have, I don't want to say you can't have that kind of an outing, but you're looking for more from him last night, Connor, in a big game against the Atlanta Braves.
Aaron Nola is so weird in that you see numbers like that one you're just talking about, and it's like, did I get, like, Men in Black mind erased for those four starts that he won? Like, you try and think back, and it's almost like there's no discerning memories from the good moments, and we really, really remember the bad with him. I know that's a normal thing in sports already, but for some reason, yeah, you're right. He doesn't feel like he's pitched well at any point this year, and then you look at the numbers, and you're like, okay, he hasn't been that bad. He just can't consistently be good. I don't get it. I don't know if it's a mental thing. I don't know if it's mechanics, but you can't. And this is why they didn't pay him this offseason, because this is what he's been. Like, he hasn't been consistent enough to warrant the payday that his talent probably deserves.
And Jamie sends out a text last night and couldn't have been any truer. My God, every time the Phillies score a run, they give up a run in the next inning.
It's
no matter who it is. It can be your starter. It can be relievers. Whatever it is, whenever they seem to come up big,
they can't get a shutdown inning.
Can't get it.
It's really bad, and it's more than just a fluke at this point. It's a trend. It's really bad. That number that Ricky Bo and Michael B gave out the other night, it's over 50% of the time.
That's crazy.
You're not going to be a winning baseball team doing
that. No, and it's a mental thing, right? It's got to be in their heads that every time they score, uh-oh, here we go. It's got to be in the relievers, starters, whatever's heads. Like we talked about before, teams at Sixers years ago, so good at home but bad on the road. There's no rhyme or reason for it. Why are you giving up runs every time after you score a run?
I can't explain it except between the years.
That's what I think too, right? It's got to be between the years. And you know what? I hate to say it. I'm done with kind of one of the relievers.
Oh, you're going to say it. Go ahead.
I mean, I just don't trust Soto at all anymore.
He's been good though.
Has he?
Yeah, like, pitching's weird this year. Numbers are really juiced. I think Soto's been pretty good prior to, you know, last night. And
okay, I'll give you that. I just, I don't know. Somebody always sticks out to you that, like, oh, yeah, they're going to blow up, they're going to blow up. And I guess he sticks out to me when he blows up more than when he pitches well.
Yeah.
Which is wrong. That's total stupid fandom.
Yeah, yeah, but it is what it is. I like Soto a lot. And Jamie's right. He's pitched better than I think a lot of people give him credit for, because when he has bad innings, he was like Jose Alvarado at the start of last year. When he had bad innings, he had bad innings.
Real bad,
like,
innings.
They blow up. But here's the thing, right? If you're Gregory Soto and you're a young guy, you're in Detroit, you're a multi-time All-Star as a closer, and you get traded to Philadelphia for two guys who played on a major league roster that went to the World Series last year, your thought process coming in here is what? I'm going to be the closer for the Philadelphia Phillies, because they don't have one. They don't have one established. They've had a revolving door at that position. And then you come in and you're not that guy. Not that he should be.
He's not that guy.
Because Kimbrel has been good in that role this year. Like, Kimbrel has earned getting those opportunities. But if you're Soto, you're a young player who's used to that position.
He's not that young. He's 28.
I mean, he's been in the majors for what, 5 years?
He's your age.
I'm still young.
You come in here complaining about strawberries and pulled hamstrings and calves and all that.
Yeah, dude, 7-year-olds get strawberries. You fall, you get hurt.
Like, I'm surprised you come in today after playing a men's basketball game last night, not limping around and shuffling around.
You're diverting away. This is not about me. This is about Gregory Soto. I'm ready to go.
It's all about you, Connor.
But
you know that.
I do think him not being in the closer role could be a bit of a mental adjustment for him that's causing some of these issues. But again, like, he's got to be ready to do that, because Kimbrel's earned the closer spot right now. So to cut him a little bit of slack, I think that was his goal coming in.
He's got 4 losses already on the year as a reliever.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those are inherited runs.
Could be.
You know, sticky situations.
Yeah, numbers are different, but...
But, you know, Connor said something about Aaron Nola. It's, you know, unique to this year, and it's not really. It's his whole career. I don't know what it is. You know, like yesterday I was reading Jim Bowden's top free agents of next year, and no surprise, Otani's...
Look at you looking ahead.
Otani's number one.
Oh, really?
Well, I really like Jim Bowden, and it popped up, and I just clicked on it. Aaron Nola's the third top free agent
really?
Next year. And Jim Bowden is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, pitcher or just...
Player.
Player in general. Wow.
Player in general.
That surprises me, I gotta say.
Julio Urias from the Dodgers, right, number 2. Nola, 3. Matt Chapman from the Blue Jays, number 4. And then, obviously, Otani, number 1. From 2017 to 2022, Aaron Nola has, I think, the third best pitching war in baseball.
Okay.
He's been a part now of a World Series team.
And he pitched.
Look, and it wasn't until last year that we said, oh, he finally got over the late season hump, and he's changed. And it's like, he's been very good. He's a top 10 probably franchise pitcher of all time, but I never have confidence in him.
Does he get a wrong look from Phillies fans? Like, last year in the playoffs, him and Wheeler, I couldn't wait for them to get on the mound. In the playoffs, phenomenal. I thought he battled his ass off. He was really good at times. You know, once in a while, okay, whatever. But do we look at him, like last night?
I don't know how I look at him.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And I'm going to have something. We're going to talk about it.
I think he's
a
number 2.
Yeah.
But I don't have confidence in him. But I recognize that he's been very good in his career.
Now, last year during the playoffs, I did. I had a lot of confidence in him. It's probably the first time I ever did.
Yeah, I don't know how I view Aaron Nola. It changes weekly, it feels like.
Who does that sound like to you, Jamie? A guy who's not the top dog, that's still very good, that you trust his track record, but is inconsistent.
James Harden.
Coach. Absolutely. Well, coach too. But he's just like James Harden's Eastern Conference semifinals is what Aaron Nola is. Someone's still going to throw
really
the bag
good
at James
games,
Harden.
4 bad games.
Exactly. And we might harp on the bad ones, but he could also go out there and
drop
set a strikeout record. Exactly. So,
it's not bad, Connor.
Yeah, no problem.
I like that comparison.
I wish we weren't making that comparison. I wish he was just Joel Embiid, and so was Zach Wheeler, and so was everybody. But he's super talented with just inconsistencies at this point. And the difference between him and Harden is when Harden was in his prime, he was this guy every night. Nola's in his prime now, and he's this inconsistent. I don't know how you pay the guy.
But at the same time, what do you got?
I mean, Andrew Painter. Not this year, but
I've never seen him pitch in a Phillies uniform.
Yeah, I'm saying not this year, next year. That's why it's super important.
Yeah, but even next year, I can't go into the year with World Series aspirations going, Andrew Painter's going to take us there.
Well, let's see what he does this year.
They're going to have to do something with this starting these starters. Either they have to do it from within or they're going to have to go outside. Like Tyrone Walker's going to have to have a good outing tonight. Zach Wheeler's going to have to be an ace tomorrow. You can't just go to Atlanta and poop the bed and you know, blow it off and say, oh, it's okay. You know, we're still there. This starting pitching is, before it was head-scratching, now it's becoming close to a concern.
I've been concerned about it for a while. I'm concerned about a lot of things with the Phillies.
Well, you get more nervous than I do. I'm kind of more laid back.
You're cool.
No, I'm not
just,
cool at
you're
all.
You're just cool.
Now, I just thought, okay, it's going to happen. Now I'm getting concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. All right, our morning mind bender today. I think it's kind of easy. I didn't look at the answer, but unless it's looking for specifics, the question is, this is made up of 70,000 wooden planks and stretches for nearly 2.5 miles.
But I think,
what is it?
I think we all know boardwalk, but
boardwalk,
I think it's
is what
specific
I put.
Boardwalk.
That's what I said.
Yes.
I'm going to
go with Atlantic City.
I have Ocean City written down on mine.
I've got Wildwood.
All right, so we got it all covered, I think.
Well, I don't know. Does
those are the three big ones.
No, not really.
Okay. 2.5 miles is pretty lengthy.
Yeah, so we got the three big ones here on the checklist. Coach, what is it?
Yeah, we're not. This is.
It's pretty easy.
Show me Wildwood.
You're all correct, except Connor is more correct.
Yeah.
Woo!
That was my gut, and I changed to Atlantic City.
It is the Wildwood Boardwalk.
Which boardwalk have you guys spent the most time on of those three?
Ocean City.
Wow.
I've never really been a Wildwood guy ever.
I mean, I've been on the Wildwood beaches maybe three times in my life.
Yeah.
I'll be down there this weekend. It's a toss-up, honestly. They're all close. I'm normally a Sea Isle or LBI guy, so when I go to those other ones, it's just like one day out of the summer. So
I love LBI.
LBI is such a great day trip spot.
Yeah, LBI is awesome.
I've only been there a couple of times, too.
Oh, it's great.
You'd love it. It's a super Bob Cooney beach, I feel like.
Yeah, I think. What does that mean?
I don't know. Like, Sea Isle's more like there's nightlife going on, ACs, casinos. Like, it's very low key.
Yeah, it's
low
key.
You can drink if you want to, but it's more of a family environment. It seems right up your alley.
That's why I vacation in Ocean City.
Yeah, but Ocean City's a dry town. You're not a dry guy.
That's such an overrated thing. Like, what do you mean it's a dry town? Like,
you can't go to a bar.
Okay, so you can go 5 minutes to Sea Isle and 10 minutes to Margate, whatever. I mean, it's not that big.
No, it's not.
No, I'm just saying with Bob Cooney.
You're going to be in Ocean City this weekend. Is the fact that it's a dry town going to affect the way you drink this weekend?
No,
Jamie?
I probably wouldn't be going out this weekend anyway.
Right.
So I'll just bring my beers to the beach like I always do. And
get him, bad boy.
Get him, beach patrol.
So did anybody see this thing? I heard it, but I didn't see the story that there is some kind of a ban. Did you read it or not?
Yeah, I read the headline. It said Wildwood to ban all alcohol on boardwalk.
Ha. On boardwalk? Do people drink on the boardwalk?
People drink everywhere, Bob.
Oh, I got to tell you. I think
I don't know. I'm not a wild guy. I've never been.
Yeah, me neither. I assume
they do.
I think it's a little obnoxious to openly walk around with alcoholic beverages.
Where?
Now, like on a boardwalk, walking on the street. I don't mind if you're, you know, on the front porch.
Because like Addie
or
and I walk the neighborhood and sometimes we pour.
But you'll have solo cups or something.
Yes, but occasionally if I'm heading to my cousin's pool or something, I'll just have a beer can.
Oh,
and
you're talking like in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about like public places where there's a lot of people.
Like,
no, I have no problem walking. Well, if I'm walking the dog or something or whatever, and I have a beer, I'll pour it into something that doesn't, obviously.
Yeah, but everybody knows what's in that solo cup.
I hear you. I just mean, like, having a beer can, like, on the boardwalk or something like that. I don't think that's a great look. I don't mind the solo cups, and everybody knows. Who cares? I thought that they were trying to ban it on the beach also. We'll have to look it up
to
make sure that we're...
It didn't affect me, so I didn't read it.
Yeah, if they're saying, like, we don't want noticeable bottles and cans of booze on the beach... Okay, I can live with that. Bring
your cups.
You just
got to sneak them in.
Bring your cups. Everybody knows we're all drinking on the beach. I'm not a huge beach drinker.
Really?
What?
Oh, it's like my favorite place to have a beer.
For sure.
I bring a cooler down, obviously, and it has most of the kids' stuff, and I'll throw a few beers in there and stuff like that. But, yeah, when we're on vacations, I may have one later in the afternoon. And then my favorite time is when you go back and you clean off everything. I tell everybody, go get your showers, all that. I'll clean off all the chairs, the whatever, and opening a beer then while you're doing all that and putting everything away. Oh. And then everybody else is done getting their showers, and then you get the shower beer, and you get in the outside. Oh, there's no better time of
the
day.
Only one issue, Bobby. Can't be showering. It's no shower happy hour. You got to hit happy hour,
dude,
and then you come
smell.
Back.
Trust me when I tell you, you need to shower.
Oh, like I'm the only one that does no shower happy hour down the shore because
no,
I can't
you're
smell.
Not the only one. But that's not
that's the way to do it. Right?
I'm not doing a no shower happy hour when my family's gathering around. I'm about to cook dinner.
I like them. Tell them to clean up the chairs themselves and go grab beer.
I like the feeling of a shower after the beach. So here, according to Philly Voice, Wildwood leaders approve a ban on alcohol on the beach and boardwalk, except in designated bars and restaurants.
So further going on, is it just open containers on the beach or like no alcohol at all?
Ban on alcohol on the beach and boardwalk.
So yeah, but there are other beaches that have banned that just like they won't go through the trouble of checking your cup. I imagine that's probably just they're trying to crack down on it a little bit, but I'm sure you can still find a way.
I don't know if there's a rule, if there's a law out there.
I'll be down there this weekend. I'll let you know if I'm at work.
I can't wait to find out how much your tickets for
$35, $25.
Ticket.
Let's hope it's not bail.
Yeah. What do they do? Do they like check your cooler as you're going on the beach?
I'll report back.
Or do they just have people going around and if they see you open, I mean, everybody opens their cooler, opens a beer and pours it into a red cup and whatever. As long as you're not.
I have like a metal koozie that I slide the beers in. So it's like completely covered.
It
keeps it cold. It's the best $20 you can spend.
When we were not yet maybe 21 or right around
there. Bad boys.
We had a cup that looked like a Coca-Cola can.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Remember them? Yeah, so you'd pour your beer in there and they thought you were. Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure we fooled everybody.
Yeah.
We have those for softball when we play in a park that we're not supposed to be drinking in, like in an elementary school park or something.
Why don't you just give yourself totally up this weekend? Just put your hands out so they can handcuff you now, Connor.
They got to catch me first.
You're going to go drinking with that sore hamstring.
Oh, easy, Bobby.
With that sore hamstring, I don't think it will be too hard to
catch.
I
got wheels still.
Yeah, you think so?
You try me.
All right, Bradford White Water Heaters. You may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. So, Jamie, you pumped for the weekend? Is this one of your favorite holiday weekends?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's just me, my mom, my sister, and you know, brother-in-law, wife, and the girls. So it's
your wife comes way. You put her way too.
Well, I assume people would think she's coming with me.
I don't know. I was wondering as you were saying it.
So it's great. We just spend a lot of time at the house and on the porch, and you don't do a whole lot.
That's
just
a great place that you go to too. Because I came over a couple of times.
It's my cousin's old original shore house that they've moved on, but kept it in the family and rent it to us. Shout out the Bumgardners of Longport. But, yeah, it's great. It's just nice and chill and relaxed. And there's not a pressure because the days aren't usually that great weather-wise. There's not this pressure to, like, do the whole beach haul.
Yeah.
So you'll just, like, walk down, spend an hour or two, build a sandcastle, sit around, kind of go back.
You got a playground right near you also, which is good.
It's just a very chill weekend. It's great.
It's not going to be too bad down the shore. A buddy of mine's going down today. I was talking
about
yesterday.
Missing the rain, luckily.
You're not getting rain. It's going to be mid-60s. Hopefully you hit some 70, but you should be okay.
You always pack a sweatshirt this weekend.
Oh, God, this is a hoodie shorts weekend.
Yeah,
down the shore it is. Up here it's going to be pretty good. Mid-70s to 80s, good sunshine. So hope everybody has a great weekend. I love this weekend. I told you guys yesterday after the show, at like 8:30 yesterday morning, it felt like it was 2 in the afternoon to me because I was so pumped and excited for the weekend. I was wide awake and ready to go. So, all right, when we get back here on the John Kincaid Show, Jamie wants to talk a little Andy Reid, and I want to talk to you about the weekend. Let us know what you're up to. 610-632-0975.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I was going to let that play out. That's pretty good. John Kincaid Show here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Happy start to the summer today. Love it. Favorite day, one of my favorite days of the year. Can't say favorite, but I absolutely love today. All you that are going down the shore, wherever you may be going, please be careful. Drive safely. Be considerate of others. All of that fun stuff, because you're not going to have any fun if you have trouble on the roads getting to where you want to go.
My buddy's wife, he has dash cams.
Uh-huh.
He's had them for a while now. His wife witnessed a road rage incident the other day.
Oh, my God.
Where a guy got out of the car at a stop sign, came up with a baseball bat, and smashed the rearview mirror off the car in front of him. Got back in his car and drove away. And my buddy has it all on film. I can show it to you during the next break.
So our son Bobby got that for each one of our cars for Christmas.
Yeah, he loves it. Because he was in an accident that wasn't his fault not that long ago. And boom, there's no, you know what I mean? There's no insurance disputes. It's just, here's what happened. This person drifted into me.
So what do you do with that?
You send it to your insurance company.
No. If you're an innocent bystander
he submitted it to police.
And, oh, he did?
And is helping the victim, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And there's a clear shot of the guy's face. He doesn't get his license plate, but you can see his face.
Wow. Would you turn it in, Connor?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, what do you, I mean.
Yeah.
All right. What's there to lose?
I'm good with it.
It's one thing to like narc on someone that's like none of your business. When you see a dude pull a baseball bat in traffic and smash someone's window, it's like, if that was me, I'd want somebody to submit evidence that they have
totally.
So I could get that taken care of. So, yeah, that's enough of an issue that I'd be fine sending that in.
Did Connor just have the best self-deprecating line during our break
that
you ever heard? I'm telling the story. I don't care if you get mad or not.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
So, Connor comes into our studio and Jamie says, hey, how the prospects going? You know, we all know Connor's a single man. And, you know, looking for love, like a lot of people. So Jamie asked that question, and his response was, well, it's a little tough now. And Jamie says, why? Connor, give us your answer on that one.
Well, it's easier to convince girls to make a bad decision when their home life is more settled. And right now, they're in between shore houses or staying in the city, going back home for a little bit, start of the summer. Maybe they got a barbecue going on. You got to let them get settled for the summer.
So I say to Connor, I go, so wait, you're just determining that yourself is a bad decision? He goes, oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
For sure. You met me, right?
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. Nice little self-deprecation moment there.
If you're a young lady listening, this is all just kidding. It's just radio stuff. Great decision. I'll buy you some pasta sometime. Who doesn't like pasta? Maybe some Alfredo? Anybody. Some penne alla vodka?
I don't think there's anybody that like... So last night we went to a place, we went to buy some plants for the backyard. And right around the corner there's a, I think you've been there. It's called Arnie's. Have you been there in your South Jersey travel? Where it's got all this meat and pasta, it's all fresh. Anyway, it's a great place to go. And they have pre-made dinners. So we were going there and I said, oh, let me grab some lobster ravioli. And my wife, who is 1,000% Italian, is like, she does not like the lobster ravioli. She doesn't like lobster ravioli. And I'm like, how can you not like that?
What? Does she like lobster?
I don't think I've ever seen her eat lobster, to tell you the truth.
Huh.
I assume who doesn't like lobster?
Maybe Donna.
I like crab better than lobster, personally.
I think if you don't have butter, lobster's kind of overrated.
They used to be prison food back in the day.
I remember you telling this story before. Because why?
It was considered like a poor man's, like, you know, food.
Wow, how times have changed.
I know, right? Yeah. But it is a little tough. Lobster's not my favorite. Crab's better. That's my hot take for the day.
I'm not disputing that. You can eat crab, and if you ever saw me crack a crab and eat crabs, you'd be like, you're a lunatic. You will not find a strand of crab meat after I'm done picking through a crab.
Yeah, I'm pretty good, too.
Nah, I don't crack the crab. That goes in the same category as bone-in wings. Make my food easier to eat. Crab cake, great. Cream of crab soup, perfect.
Picking a crab and
hard. You prick your fingers sometimes. No, I'm
that's
you earn your food.
I could sit at a table, I'm not kidding you, for 6 to 8 hours and eat crabs and drink beer.
Absolutely.
My ancestors earned their food a billion years ago, so I don't have to anymore. No, I'm good on that.
You don't know what you're missing.
My favorite night when we go to the Outer Banks every year is just getting the bushel of crabs and sitting on the deck with the the garbage can right next to you and the newspaper down on the table. And
so my brother-in-law just retired, and they live down in Maryland with my sister, and he just bought a boat.
Nice.
And so he's just like, dude, if you want to come down every weekend, we'll go crabbing. And he does the serious crabbing that I told you about before with the trot line and all that stuff. So I can't wait to do that a lot this summer. All right, Connor's got something on his mind that's interesting, and it's about somebody carrying this Phillies team.
Yeah, so the Bryce Harper dynamic is very interesting to me this year because it feels like he's kind of gotten this free pass, and not undeservedly, but when he came back so early from Tommy John, we were so excited. We're like, man, this guy's superhuman. He comes back. He's playing incredibly well. It's nothing about his performance. Had a monster home run last night. I think he was 3-for-4 in the game. Like, he's been awesome, but the team isn't playing well. And there's no doubt that, like, this is his team. You could say, oh, Kyle Schwarber's the emotional leader in the clubhouse. Oh, J.T. Realmuto does this stuff defensively. Trey Turner's supposed to be this guy. No, it starts and ends with Bryce Harper. It always has. So when you look at that, what is the mentality with him if this team, let's go ahead and say it's June, and they're still struggling like this, and they're like 5-6 games under 500. Is there going to be a point this year where you look at Bryce Harper and say, okay, I know you've been good, but we need you to be incredible and carry this team? Or is this a year? Has Bryce Harper earned a year of not being held responsible for the team's success?
Kinda.
If they need Bryce Harper to carry them, they're in a lot of trouble.
Well,
this lineup isn't built that one person has to carry them.
Yeah.
In the Trey Turner's, Realmuto, Castellanos, Schwarbers, all of them. If you need one guy carrying, now, if he gets hot and is the leader of the, of the brigade or whatever, that's fine. But if you need him to carry you or any one person to carry you, this team's in a boatload of trouble.
Well, right now, they're in a little bit of trouble. It's early, but they're in some kind of trouble. But I look at a team like Atlanta that you just played, and you're going to see three more times. Yeah, their lineup's incredible, and other guys are hitting at points. But what Ronald Acuna is doing, like, is otherworldly. He's not, I wouldn't say he's not carrying them, but he's playing out of his mind right now. Like, if Bryce Harper, if we get to the end of the year, and he doesn't have one of those Bryce Harper stretches where he hits, like, 6 home runs in 12 games and bats like .450 in that stretch and wins a couple ball games for them, like has a Bryce Harper level heat check. Are we going to look back and fault him at all? Or is this, because Jamie said he might have earned it. Like, yeah, he's earned it. Is this just a free year from him away from criticism?
I kind of feel like it is.
Is that fair? Like, are we selling ourselves short by giving him that pass? Not that he hasn't earned it, but like, this team's expectations are higher than, okay, well, you're 4 games below 500 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Coming back how early as he did, I don't look to him as, I don't think I will look to him as an issue. I also, he's proven that he's a gamer. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to do whatever the hell he needs to do to be on that field. And like, to me, that's all I really want out of my athletes. It is that really just tough, I'm willing to do whatever attitude. And he's proven that over his first, is this his fourth year?
Yes.
Wow, it's his fourth year already. So in the previous 3 years, he's shown me that, and no more so than coming back from this surgery. So yeah, like I'm not going to roast him at all this year. And so, I don't know if it's fair or not, but that's how I feel.
I'm on board with you, to tell you the truth. 75 at bats this year. Hitting .347, already has 26 hits. You know, the 3 homers, 7 RBI aren't there yet. But anything you're expecting out of him this early is probably overstated.
So in previous years, before they broke that playoff drought and everything, a lot of this was looking at Bryce Harper. People talked about the contract. People talked about the production and everything like that. And say, hey, at some point, he's got to be the leader that leads this team back to the playoffs. And it was on other guys as well, but he's the face of the franchise right now, so it was on him. Is it the injury and the fact that he came back early from that and we're already getting bonus baseball out of Bryce Harper, or is it what he did last year in the postseason? Is it a combination? Like, has he
reached it's a combination.
So he's reached the status in the city where it's just like Bryce Harper can do no wrong.
Kinda, to me.
4 years in, with that much longer to go, does that seem problematic to you guys?
No, because I don't question him.
Okay.
I think he's proven, you know, actions speak louder than words, and his actions have been, I'll do anything for this organization.
And in baseball, unlike basketball,
he's really good.
Yeah.
On top of it.
Unlike basketball, football, whatever, baseball's so individualistic. So to ask him to, Joel Embiid, why isn't the team winning when you're so good? Legitimate question. You can't look at Bryce Harper hitting, say, you know, 30 home runs, 110 RBIs, 300 on a season. You can't look at him and say, well, why isn't everybody else sitting around you? It's individualistic. So I don't think he warrants. In all honesty, you bring up a good point, Connor. In 4 years, I have no problems with him at all. No question marks.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And
nothing
that's very anti-Philadelphia, right? Think about the other great athletes in the city right now. There are people who still have questions about Joel Embiid, rightfully so after this. I mean, even Jalen Hurts, there are way less detractors. Right. There are still people out there.
I think the World Series trip calmed a lot of those. Like, for me, he got the team to where, like, he was a major reason why they got there. I know they didn't win, but they were up against a great team, and they should be back at some point again. He's already gotten them to the finish line, so like that kind of eases. Like that's a factor and a contributing factor as well.
And if you think of the athletes through the years in Philly, and Connor, you're younger than us, so
he reminds me of an Utley status.
Okay, that's exactly what my point was going to be. If you're going to go through guys that you say, oh, they kind of got a free pass in this city, I'll bet you the majority would be baseball players because of what I said. It's an individual sport.
Yeah, you know what? When I think about the guys, I mean, Utley. Now, Jimmy didn't totally get it because the fans still got on Jimmy for the not hustling.
Oh, and Howard is one of the most disrespected athletes of recent memory.
Absolutely. So I don't know. It's weird. It's like a pick and choose thing. But it's very rare in Philadelphia to have an athlete that wins over the city in totality. There are guys where like, we love this guy, and then you have a playoff disappointment, and all of a sudden Joel Embiid, people want him out of town. And Bryce Harper, it literally feels like whatever you get out of him is bonus. There's nothing the guy could do wrong. And he's earned that. He's playing incredibly well. It's just very interesting to me the status he's ascended to in the city in a short period of time.
Well, he's an MVP. We're pretty simple people. Play your ass off. Be good.
Are we, though? We have an MVP on another team in this city.
But the last thing I was about to say was lead your team to championship levels.
All right. My fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were right there.
I mean, when you think about Utley and Rollins and Howard, they, you know, Jimmy would occasionally, you know, not bust his ass down to first base. But, you know, Ryan Howard, you believed in him all the time until he got hurt and things changed and he couldn't hit, you know, low and outside stuff. But for the most part, you know, he didn't really get it too bad. It was more like post-career with him that the Boo Birds and stuff started to come out. During that 5-6 year window, nobody questioned anything about Ryan Howard.
Who's your favorite ever baseball player to watch in Philadelphia?
Ryan Howard's damn close.
I was thinking of that. He
was always my favorite of the three.
Connor, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, you're good. Roy Halladay, not even close.
But that's every 5 days. Like, I loved him.
Great every 5 days.
When Ryan Howard was in that 5-year stretch.
That's what made me think asking you that question.
He was I would plan my nights around when he was going to be up in the order.
It was a nightly thing. Howard's up. That's all it was.
And I'd be like, okay, six, seven, eight, nine's coming up. I can go do something real quick, and I'll be back by the top of the order.
Right. Yeah. Like our son Bobby loves baseball, so he would always have Phillies games on. If he just so happened to have to go somewhere or I went somewhere, it was always Howard's up. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, I mean, he was hitting, 56 home runs?
130 RBIs.
Yeah, he was a machine.
Normal fly balls to what it seemed off the bat to us watching a game. We're landing 10, 11 rows deep.
But Harper's close.
Yeah, especially when he gets going. Yeah,
like I kind of base my viewing, if I can, around him.
He had a single the other night. It was such a silly thing, but the way I watch sports. He had a single the other night that was one of the sweetest swings.
Against the Diamondbacks to right field.
Right?
Yeah.
Just a line drive between first and second. Like, one of the sweetest swings you'll ever see.
Yeah. And so did Howard. I mean, it's interesting. They're not totally comparable players because I think Bryce is the more complete hitter.
Well, like, Howard was a power guy first and foremost.
Yeah, but just something about that sweet lefty swing and a guy that
it is the lefty
produces.
Swing, yeah.
It is. Righties, righties got screwed over. Something genetically. Yeah, I don't know who invented the game. I don't know if Abner Doubleday is a lefty. Cooler. It looks way cooler.
Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. And I can admit it. He was a rival growing up, but I was obsessed with David Justice's swing.
Oh, that's a good one.
Great
that's
one. I just thought that was so pretty. Him and the kid. And I switch hit in Little League because...
He's an all-star, too, Jamie was.
Because the lefty swing is so much cooler looking.
Were you able to pull off a cool-looking left-handed swing?
I wasn't nearly as good, but I was competent.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I could never hit left-handed.
Yeah, but it was because left-handed batters look so cool.
What's the sweetest swinging so right-handed stupid. Hitter you've ever seen?
Oof. Ooh. It's a tough call.
I've never thought of that question. It just popped
Either
into
have
my
I.
head.
Stance or swing? Gary Sheffield comes to mind.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Because he was... Yeah, Pujols is going to go down as one of the most underrated of all time because the average he hit for
over 600 doubles, over 600 home runs.
He won't. He is now because he just went through that twilight where the zombie of Albert Pujols played besides the last like 2 months when they were juicing the baseball.
I don't know.
St. Louis.
You never hear people say like that was the Albert Pujols generation. You know?
You could do that trivia question all the time. Who has over 600 doubles and 600 home runs?
Albert Pujols.
Hardly anyone comes up with Albert Pujols, though. Because I told you.
I mean,
and he's a career 296 hitter. Career.
I think Mike Trout
has a pretty sweet swing.
In his prime. Listen to Albert Pujols' batting average to start his career. 329, 314, 359, 331, 330, 330, 327, 357, 327, 312. And then he kind of dropped below 300.
Then he really started hitting bombs because he wasn't hitting for average anymore.
Well, no, his home runs during that period was 37, 34, 43, 46, 41, 49, 32, 37, 47, 42. The man's a freak.
Absolute freak.
Some might say a machine.
I think Jamie's right that he's kind of underrated.
Yeah, I think totally.
I mean, his career is totally in mine and Jamie's wheelhouse. Part of it started
700 home runs.
You.
Yeah.
700.
No, that was my favorite non-Philly athlete growing up was really? Albert Pujols. I'll tell you, I think people just had Pujols fatigue because of how the league treated him his last couple years in. And when he comes back around and he's up for election.
He's in the first ballot, all that.
Yeah, but, no doubt. I think he's going to get the total respect he deserves. I think people just got tired
like
of
him. Like in 30 years, if people say, like, who was the greatest player of, like, 2000 to 2020, like, I don't think his name's going to be on the forefront of people's minds.
I think it'll be him and Cabrera will be up there. I think it'll be those two guys.
Maybe Connor's more in tune than
Maybe.
We are because
I feel like he's forgotten about in a way.
I always thought he was underrated.
Huh. I don't know. I never felt that.
Even 700 home
but
run,
I thought it. I love the guy. So it could just be a personal thing for me.
I miss those hitters. I miss those 330 hitters, those Wade Bonds, those Albert Pujols.
So he finished
every year.
MVP. His second year in the league, he finished second. Third year in the league, finished second. Fourth year in the league, finished third. Then he won an MVP. Then he finished second again. Then there was a bad year, bad in quotes. Then he won it. Then he won it. Then he finished in second. And then he finished in fifth.
He's a three-time MVP?
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
Dude.
And finished second one, two, three, four times. That's insane.
He might be one of the most underrated players in any sport of mine and yours.
I think so, too.
Wow. Hey, you want to win a barbecue and bourbon tasting for you and five friends?
Absolutely.
At Deke's Barbecue in Germantown?
Yes.
All you have to do is visit the contest page on 975thefanatic.com. Deke's Barbecue. Order today for your graduation party or Memorial Day weekend catering or just for the hell of it because Deke's is awesome. Absolutely awesome. They were in here a few weeks ago for our open house.
Delicious.
God, that was delicious.
I drove by Deke's on the way to the golf course yesterday, and my mouth started watering, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to pull in, but it's too early to go ahead. It was like, I don't know. It's never too early, but it's too early
I did the same thing. I had to go, I think I told you guys, I had to go see my niece up at LaSalle. So I left here and went by on my way back home, and same thing. It was like 11:30 in the morning, and I was thinking about it, but oh, my God. You can smell it from the street.
Well, you can. Rub it in one time. All right, great.
I can't imagine that doesn't affect your taste buds.
It probably does, but I wouldn't know the difference. It's the same way, like, my whole life.
So, all right, so if I gave you two plates, one was, like, beef brisket and one was, I don't know, some other kind of meat, could you tell the difference just because of texture? Or?
Yeah, I could.
What kind of other meat are we talking
about? I was thinking, like,
is it a stinky meat?
Porterhouse.
Yeah,
yeah, I could tell the difference.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. I could taste different things. It might be like slightly skewed from how you guys taste them, but like, I don't know. Everything
you have nothing to compare it to.
No, exactly.
Exactly. Huh. All right. Are you beachbound vacations? What is it about the beach that draws us in? At Beachbound Vacations, they can't answer that, but they can get you there in style with top resorts, ocean view rooms, and luxury transportation. Book your getaway beachbound.com.
Vinny Gallo tweets in, sweetest right-handed swing ever, Manny Ramirez. Thing of perfection.
Oh, that's really good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Because, I mean, think about
it. I always liked Manny.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he was a Red Sox.
I was thinking about this the other day when I asked the question on air about what was an ear or what was a team that you liked watching, non-Philly team.
I kind of liked that Red Sox team because they were lovable losers up until that point.
I think Boston,
maybe not lovable,
the Boston,
but they were
Red
losers.
Sox, I think, has always been my favorite
Fenway's,
League team.
Fenway's cool.
Fenway was always a cool place, even to this day. When a game's on, if there's a Saturday afternoon game on and it's at Fenway, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Phillies never really play them, so you don't have to run into that trouble all that often.
Yeah. The Yankee-Red Sox rivalry there, like, carried baseball. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. Now, I have family down in Baltimore, so ever since I was a little kid, I used to go to Orioles games when it was in Memorial Park, you know, way back then.
Did you see the thing they have going on down there now? The splash zone?
What?
No, I didn't see that at all. One of the sections, I think in the outfield, anytime there's, like, a home run, these, like, water guns go off, and they, like, soak the section.
Nope, don't need that.
So you need to, like, agree to it? Obviously, if you're going to sit there, but I think it's called the splash zone.
Is anybody looking to get soaked?
iPhones are waterproof.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but still, don't splash me in a baseball game.
Hey, well, then don't sit in the splash zone, bro.
What is this, SeaWorld now? It's an Orioles game. What are we doing here? Don't need a splash zone. We already got pools in the outfield out in Arizona. Splash zone.
But Canada's cool. Like, I don't mind the Orioles. They have great uniforms, cool hats.
Yeah. You know, Camden Yards, when it first opened, was so cool. It was different.
Yeah, it was.
All that. I went there a couple summers ago. To me, it kind of...
Well, the team sucks. Now they're kind of resurging.
They're resurging now. Yeah. Nice young team that they have going on
there.
Good
young players, yeah.
Yeah, and people down in Baltimore are really into their baseball. So,
sure.
I hope it comes back for them.
Home of Babe Ruth.
That's right.
Right down the road.
Yeah, so my brother-in-law used to be baseball coach and athletic director before he finished up at this place, Calvert Hall, at this place, Cardinal Gibbons.
What do you say, Cardinals?
And it's where he went to high school, and that was built on the place where Babe Ruth was held juvenile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, right? He had some troubles as a juvenile.
Wasn't he an orphan or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, the house.
Yeah, I remember
some movie that was in black and white where he was like in the kid's like orphanage or...
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he's talking to him. Like,
yeah, what movie was that?
Was it a movie or was it just kind of one of those, and Babe Ruth talked to the kids today?
Yeah.
It was on This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen?
I guess.
That might be before your time, too.
I know the name.
Yeah. When I was a kid on Saturdays... All this and more on This Week in Baseball. It was like a half hour of must-see TV because we couldn't see all national games and stuff when I was little.
That's because we didn't have TVs.
It's
a rough
childhood. We only had radios, yeah. When we get back, Jamie got surprised by something of one of the Phillies players. We'll see if you have, too. Also, listen, holiday weekend, we're having a lot of fun here. Give us a call. Let us know what you're up to this weekend, some of your more fun things that you like to do during the summer. 610-632-0975. This is the John Kincaid Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sandlot, the ultimate summer movie. Does this song remind you of Sandlot or something else?
Nope, it reminds me of tequila.
Yeah?
Yep.
Sandlot, Jane?
Yeah, Sandlot.
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up loving Pee-wee, too, so.
But, did you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think Pee-wee, I was a little too old to So you had, what do you have? He had a show, Pee Wee's Funhouse, right? Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, I never.
Is that what it was called?
I was too
Playhouse
old for that, but I net
Pee Wee's Playhouse. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was never a Pee Wee guy.
It was 86 was the first season.
Really?
Yeah.
Met him.
Yeah? You met Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah, so we were staying in a hotel in Santa Monica. Sixers were out there for a game not only against the Lakers, but also the Clippers, so we had time.
What's his name? And Paul something? Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens, yeah.
So does he go by Pee Wee when you meet him?
So...
Or is he like, no, call me Paul?
No, we noticed there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. Like, what the hell is going on here? And they were filming a scene for a Pee Wee movie. I don't know which one it was, but it just so happens he was in the hallway and we were about to walk somewhere and they were telling us you can't walk there. And it was only me and somebody else and I look over and he's standing right there. And I'm like, oh. So I said, hey, how you doing? I just shook his hand or whatever. But
hey, Pee Wee.
Come to find out that I met the wrong celebrity that day.
Who else was there?
Because right behind me, which I didn't know, and somebody got was right behind me also, was Steve Van Zandt from the East Street Band.
And you could have said, I'm from New Jersey.
I could have. He does. He, yeah, I could have, but he's from Boston.
Oh, he's from Boston?
Yeah.
I thought he was
Jersey. He was born in Boston, but he did his growing up, you know, his formative years at the Jersey Shore. But so Nick Marchetta, who you know, was behind me. Well, you know of him. He was a producer for the Sixers, was behind me, her director, and he got a picture with Steve Van Zandt and was teasing.
Was he wearing his...
like never goes anywhere without something on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got Pee Wee Herman, so you're even.
Nah. I wasn't. Oh, nah. Pee Wee didn't do much for me. I got to
think Pee Wee's worth anything these days?
I mean, probably the fact that you know his name and that he had a character, I guess. What do you got? You're looking up his net worth?
Yeah.
I'm all right, don't tell us yet. Net worth, Connor, of Pee Wee Herman.
I mean, there was that the porno theater incident.
Did that boost his...
I don't think so. I'm going to go $7.8 million.
Yeah, I was going to say under $10 million.
All right.
I'll go 9.
According to Celebrity Net Worth, Paul Rubens worth $5 million.
Okay.
So, okay.
Good, yeah, pretty good by guess Connor. By Connor.
Not so bad. I'm a Pee Wee's man.
If you... What's that?
What?
If you could invite Pee Wee over to a Memorial Day barbecue, would you?
No, I'm good on that.
Okay. Well, what else you got on that?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. So I actually wrote some digital content. Pew, 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 pew.
Really, real quick, because I was curious. Steve Van Zandt, take a guess. Net worth.
Oh, dude, $14
million? No, I'm going to say higher because he had that. Not only was he in The Sopranos, and he's been with the E Street Band. What was the show that he had? I was going to say Amsterdam. But he directed that. Oh, come on. You don't remember the show? I thought for sure you'd get this.
No.
He was in one in where he was like in witness protection in Finland or something.
Yes, yes, but he was like
Lillehammer.
Lillehammer. He was like the producer direct. He was the executive producer of it.
I'll go to $15 million then. Fine.
I'm going
to
go higher. I'm going to say like $25 million.
You guys are both way off. According to Celebrity Net Worth, Steve Van Zandt worth $80 million.
Wow.
What?
You got the wrong guy, Bob.
Hey man, Bruce Springsteen money.
Yeah,
fair point. Like when he sells his catalog for $500 million or whatever, I'm sure he cuts a piece off for the band, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, so Stevie Van Zandt, that's a good life right there.
I wonder what Springsteen's probably worth.
Oh my God.
Probably about.
You want me to look it up?
A billion?
More he's than probably, that.
You think probably like $700 million
or
something?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Let's take a look. Bobby.
What does it mean when you're worth
celebrity
network? I think that's if you liquefy like your real estate properties and like if I had to get $650 million. For Bruce Celebrity Net Worth.
Not bad.
That's why they call him the king.
No, they don't.
And Patti Smith worth $4 million. So technically, isn't that his wife?
No, her name's Patti Scalfa.
Oh.
And she came from serious money when she was a kid.
Oh, really?
Patti Scalfa came from some serious, serious money.
She was on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah, she wasn't humming and
he wasn't down
like
by
him.
The docks with Bruce.
She wasn't sleeping in cardboard boxes, if you know what I'm saying. Hey, Jerry and Mount Laurel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jerry?
Bobby C and the bro, what's happening?
Hey, how you feeling,
what's
buddy?
Up, Jerry? Nothing much. Driving into the city, this is fun. I never do that. Now that I'm retired, I hang out in the morning.
That's great.
What's on the agenda today, Jerry?
I'm actually going to buy bagels, Bob. The greatest, I know, can't do an on-air recommendation, but Kettle Black on 2nd Street up in near, out the greatest bagels I've ever tasted.
All right.
What's the name of it again?
Kettle Black.
Wow, because I love bagels.
Yeah, Jamie will be on that right away, Chair.
Outrageous, Jamie. They're very, very good. So I'm taking a ride in because that's what you do when you're retired. You find stuff to do.
Man, proud of you.
Yeah. Fellas, I think there's two things that baseball we're missing. Number one, the clock rules, which I love working down the park now, I get out at normal hours, so it's wonderful. But it's killing, not killing, but it's the pitchers are having a hard time getting around that, especially our starters. The two main guys are still having problems with
it. Is that an excuse, though, Jer? Like, are we looking for something to find excuses for Wheeler and Nola? Because everybody has to do it.
I don't think it's an excuse. It's real. When you look at just the other day, they stopped their game for the two balls that people were in the batter's box and they weren't. It's causing problems that are changing the way they do things pitching-wise.
I agree, because if you look at Sandy Alcantara and Scherzer and Verlander and, like, a lot of the big-name pitchers, they're all having higher ERAs this year.
Okay, fair enough.
So I think it's real, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is the new schedule. I think you're playing teams you've never seen, and it does put a little slant on things that change it. The, you know, playing whoever we played that we never played.
It's insane how little divisional play they've had until this point. Three games going into last night. That's wild.
But I think in baseball, it's affecting baseball because it's just a little change, and those guys are creatures of habit. You know, they do the same thing every day. So little changes, I think, are starting to show a little bit. I'm not looking for excuses because I think they get to the playoffs again with all you got to do is just finish in sixth place now.
Yeah, they got to turn it around quick. Jerry, listen, hope you have a great, great weekend, all right?
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I love Jerry to death, but and he goes, I'm not making excuses. Yeah, but you are.
I mean, I do think those
every team has to do it.
But the Phillies have by far the least amount of division games played at this point. Like, their schedule was strange. I'm not saying, I don't know how much validity there is to that because baseball's baseball.
I'd have to look at the Dodgers schedule, the you know, everybody else's schedule.
I did see it like 3 weeks ago, and the Phillies had like an abnormal amount of few division games, like the lowest in baseball.
Okay, so we talked about it at the beginning of the year that was going to happen.
It's not. I don't think it's an excuse. I just think it's abnormal.
It's abnormal, but was there a discernible thing to say about it? Like, could you definitively say, that's going to be a trouble? Or could you definitively say, oh, that's a good thing because they can build up their record before they go up against Atlanta?
I probably would have spun it as a good thing because you're not playing the Braves and Mets.
Yeah, that's why like I said, no offense to Jerry, but that does reek of excuse to me.
Yeah, but the pitching thing I think is legit. I think pitchers are adjusting to this new era.
Pitchers. So everybody has to adjust to it. It doesn't fall just to the Phillies.
No, I mean, there's guys that are having great years, like Sonny Gray and, you know, Zach Gallen.
It's a funny name, isn't it?
Sonny Gray. Yeah, he was like, I think on that Jim Bowden free agent list, he was like 10th or 11th. So, like, back to Nola, he's third on that list. If you let him walk, which a lot of people want to do now, it's like, all right, well, who are you replacing him with? I mean, the next names on the list are like Clayton Kershaw, Sonny Gray, you know, it's like, and those are the high-end guys. Like, there's no, if you take Sonny Gray, let's just use him as an example and pay him substantial money-ish, he's going to come here and crap the bed. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
maybe.
I don't know how to view Aaron Nola. I really don't.
I don't either.
Because I recognize what he is, and it's a really good pitcher. It's just inconsistent, and the inconsistency always comes at the worst times.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it. I was trying to,
because it's like always the time you need an ace to step up and either stop the bleeding or continue on a winning streak. And it's like those situations, I feel like he always squanders them.
And I thought he got over really that hump in the playoffs last year.
So did I.
Yeah, but then it came back in the World Series.
Yes. True, and I thought that was more tiredness than anything else, but maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, largely he's not been clutch in his career. And maybe that's our biggest thing against him is when he has those big moments as an ace, those are the ones we remember, and he normally comes up small. Not great.
Not great at all. BQ Basements and Concrete is, though. If your basement or crawl space smells musty or has watermarks on the block walls, you need to get a completely free home inspection from the experts. Call BQ Basements and Concrete because the problem will only get worse. Connor, we teased it. You want to talk about having some people over for a Memorial Day weekend barbecue.
Yeah, we've got some partiers right now in the Philadelphia sports scene. Some fun people, some guys that like to get after it, some guys that might just be fun to hang around with. So, if you had to pick three current Philly athletes to come to your Memorial Day weekend barbecue, here's the trick, because they're top guys. We can't pick the same guys. So, like, Bob's three, Jamie has to have three different, I have to have three different.
Okay.
Who are you picking? You guys want to snake
draft? Who's going first?
We'll start with Bob, and we'll snake it.
All right, so, okay, I'll get one. We'll go one and a round. All right, at my Memorial Day barbecue, drinking beers with me.
Don't take my top answer.
Number one pick for Bob Cooney is Kyle Schwarber.
Really?
Oh, okay, you didn't take mine.
All right. Wow, I know who Jamie's going with. I can't believe, now Schwarber's a top first round
pick. That's a good answer.
1-1, though.
Dude, he seems like, he seems like a fun-ass dude.
Hall of Fame partier.
Buddy.
That's okay, maybe he's my kind.
Okay.
Sometimes I like to be the hit of the party, so I don't want to get the Hall of Fame partier.
Whatever you say.
I'm taking Jason Kelce off the board.
Take him off the board.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and get Lane Johnson so you can't get them both. Dude's got the bro barn. I mean, that's a guy who knows how to throw a good party. Could probably pull up with a smoker, a little Southern barbecue. I'm going Lane Johnson.
This dude just seems to have a really cool personality and probably can chill any place, anytime. I'm going AJ Brown.
Okay.
I mean, the dude almost got hit by a car the other day, and he like laughed about it 5 minutes later.
I'm going to go James Harden, because I feel like the entourage coming with him would be spectacular.
Maybe a little hoe train
and some little baby shows up at your barbecue.
What?
Little baby.
No, before that.
Yeah, ladies.
I don't think you worded it that way, but we'll count it.
Wait, a hoe train?
Yeah, I know how James travels.
A hoe train?
Yeah, maybe.
I'll give that to you.
That banter like that is why I'm taking my next pick. Brandon Graham, come on down.
Oh, he'd be making everybody smile.
Exactly. He's just going to be lying next to the pool, one of those like sun hats on, Bermuda shorts, not Bob's party shorts, like some cool ones, and just cracking jokes with everybody the whole time.
Don't make fun of my shorts.
Yeah. Take your party shorts and shove it.
I don't think you've earned that.
You have another pick, Bob. Your time's running out.
I do have another pick. No, time is something that we're trying to get through here. Let's see, my third guy, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, Eagles. I'm going to have to go my third guy being Tobias Harris.
Wow. Really? What, do you want to talk about literature?
You're just going to read.
Yeah.
No, because I'm going to tell him to bring a guest, and he's going to bring Boban.
So I get
Boban and Tobias for the price of one, and they're going to bring one of my favorite snacks, the goldfish.
You can't get like 14 things because you brought Tobias Harris.
You just have. Jamie has a hoe train.
And he knows.
Jamie's bringing a hoe train. I allow it.
That's James Harden. That's an extension of James Harden.
Yeah. Who's Boban and goldfish of Tobias? What are you talking about?
Whatever, Cooney. You're on thin ice.
No.
I'm torn between two here.
Okay.
For my final pick. And I'll say them both.
No, I mean, Connor,
I got so many people to pick from. I wrote an article about this. I'm good.
I'm torn between Rhys Hoskins, because I think he's like every man, chill, good vibes, just like.
And his wife will show up with a couple cases of beer.
And he would get along with everybody, you know what I mean? Good glue guy.
All right.
And I'm torn between him and Jordan Mailata.
Ooh.
And I have my Aussies.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
He's got a meat pie truck, so maybe he brings some meat pies. I'm going Jordan Mailata.
Shrimp on the Barbie.
I think I'd go Mailata.
So I got Kelce and Mailata partying at my house with James Harden.
You better have a lot of food and beer, dude.
I'm ready.
That's where I was going. And Bob's got goldfish, and you got Mailata making the Australian barbecue.
The meat pies to feed the whole train.
Let me round it out with PJ Tucker.
Got to keep him happy.
I'm taking PJ because he's going to be the dude.
Sneakers?
Socks and sandals at the grill, not letting anybody else touch it. Like, you need the elder statesman that's been around a barbecue a time or two that knows how to, like, handle his business on the grill and getting the food ready. PJ just seems like that guy that would, like, slap your hand with a spatula if you came anywhere near the grill. But you stand around, you're like, oh, that one's cooked well. Oh, that's a good burger. Flip that one right there. PJ seems like he knows how to handle
himself. He's backseat coaching the grill?
No, he's running the grill. Okay. I can stand there and coach him. He won't listen to me.
I think my barbecue wins.
Who do you have again? You got my lot.
PJ Tucker does nothing for me like a meanness to a party to protect a
grill.
He's
not mean. He's about his business. And somebody needs to be about their business to plan the barbecue.
Nah.
I got enough fun.
I'm out on that one.
My lot of Kelce and Harden. That's a party, man.
The hoe tray. Oh,
you know,
man.
He's bringing Destiny and
Chastity.
All the girls. Yeah, Chastity and
cinnamon.
All the girls. Yeah, cinnamon, sprinkle.
Yeah.
Sprinkle. He's bringing all of them.
Sprinkle.
Maybe you just give cash out to, you know, people there. I don't know.
He's throwing bills at the barbecue?
Yeah, maybe. If you had these guys coming over. All right, let's go to Jamie's party because he's got...
I won.
I'll give it to you. You won. What do you serve? I mean, I know they're humans, but, you know, you want to try to have them remember the party that they were attending.
Barbecue chicken.
I would just keep it simple. Sausages, burgers, simple. Dogs, barbecue
What's
chicken.
What's the bar look like? You got to get a keg.
Obviously. Yeah. I don't know what tequila. I think a lot of athletes drink. They're big wine people, NBA guys. I'd have to have some James Harden wines out.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Mayalata. Mayalata and Kelsey are easy. They're beer.
Yeah,
some
Fosters. They're beer guys.
Yeah.
What a Ho change drink.
I don't know. I'll have some juices out with some vodkas and
little
tequilas.
Capri Suns.
So if you guys have people over, say for a barbecue, do you get the hard liquor out all the time, or is it just readily available?
I have a bar inside, and I'll tell people that I know like liquor, like help yourself.
Yeah. That's what I do because I'm not good at making drinks. Sometimes
I'll make a big vat of something and just put that out, like whether it be a tequila sunrise or Palomas or something like that.
So we're more, if we have people over just hanging outside during the summer, barbecuing, whatever, more kind of beer and wine is readily available. We do have a margarita maker.
Ooh.
So you can make a lot of stuff. And so she'll make margaritas and have, you know, batches of that
ready. You know, it's a good margarita hack I've recently been doing. If you like your margaritas a little spicy, you know, the Simply Lemonades?
Yeah.
You get the Simply Limeade, put some jalapenos in there. Hit with a little orange, a little Cointreau, a little orange liqueur.
Really?
And some fresh juice.
What's that called? Orange what?
Liqueur.
Liqueur?
Liqueur.
I thought it was liqueur.
Ah, tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good margarita.
See, that's
hack.
Digging a little deep for me.
No, that's easy as hell. You just pour a little limeade out, you pour the tequila in, shake it up in the bottle, and boom, you're ready to go.
Lime and the coconut.
Yeah.
Shake it all up.
It's like you're done in like a minute and a half.
All right. I might have to give that a try, but I probably definitely won't. Yeah, I can't. I don't know how to. My biggest memory of making drinks was watching people come over to my house when I was a kid. And my dad would ask them what they wanted, and they'd say, you know, gin and tonic, something like that. And the first sip that they took every time was the worst face in the world.
Because it's all booze.
And then they'd all ask for ice. So inevitably, when people would come over, my dad would fix them a drink, and I'd be at the ready for him to say after they made that face, Bob, go get some ice and bring it back. So he must have been very heavy-handed.
I think so.
Clearly. But I don't. Like, when my friends come over, if they want, I just point to the liquor cabinet and say,
make
have
yourself.
At it. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea what to do here. All right, last night to me, the Phillies game. There's no really one-on-one battles in baseball except for obviously pitcher and hitter. But last night to me with the scoring and everything, it seemed like a one-on-one pitcher versus pitcher. And I still can't believe that Nola didn't come out on top. It reeked of me. It reeked to me of, all right, this is a one-on-one battle. It's Dodd struggling a little bit. It's Nola struggling a little bit. Who's going to come out on top is going to be what pitcher settles down. Did you guys get that feeling? Like, Connor, you're shaking your head yes to me. Did you get that feeling kind of last night? And I couldn't believe Nola didn't come out on top.
Kind of. I mean, when I looked at that game and I previewed it, I said the lineups are relatively comparable. Like, the Phillies lineup, super talented. The Braves, probably more so. But that's a matchup. You can call that a wash in some universe. When I see a guy with 15 and a third career innings pitched and Dylan Dodd coming into this game against Aaron Nola, I say, okay, the big difference in this game is going to be Aaron Nola has to be way better than Dylan Dodd.
I didn't even think way better. All right, I'm sorry, not to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
But you're talking before the game, you said before the game started, he has to be way better. Fair enough.
Right.
As the game started and you see both teams hitting, I didn't need him to be way better. I just needed him to be better.
Shut down innings.
Exactly.
And I can't believe that Aaron Nola lost that battle against Dylan Dodd.
But you can believe it.
No, I can't believe it because, to me, it totally described this season and it disappoints me.
You can believe it. So then you can believe it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to believe it.
But you can.
No, okay, maybe I'm putting... No, I couldn't believe it.
His brain's in a pretzel now.
No, I said I couldn't believe it. The Phillies I can't believe it.
Twisting up all of our brains in big knots.
I just, you totally believe it. It's such a one-on-one thing. Okay, here it is. Both teams are hitting. One of these pitchers has to settle down.
Yeah.
It's up to them. One of these pitchers is going to win this game, air quotes. And Nola couldn't come up and do it against a Dylan Dodd?
Right, because they were trading opportunities offensively. Like, Riley hit the home run, then you get it back, and then this, that, and the other thing. It felt like a very back-and-forth tug of war. Like, if someone just has one shutdown inning here, the game's momentum totally shifts, and Aaron Nola couldn't do that. Yeah, it's disheartening, but that's what you deal with him sometimes.
Did you get that one-on-one feeling kind of last night watching that game, Jason?
Yeah, that was a game Aaron Nola needed to win you. Because I have confidence in the bullpen. Last night, the offense was clicking.
Yeah.
It was the third aspect of baseball, and he wasn't good enough. I mean, the stat continues on. Over 50% of their games where they have a run, they allow a run right after.
Oh, drives me nuts. Absolutely nuts. Tom in Alabama, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
Yo, Bob. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Jamie Lynch. How you doing, my dog?
What's up, Tommy?
Not much, man. I hate to come on here and be a negative Nancy about the Phillies, but the way I'm looking at it is they've won 23 games. There's just to get to 85 wins right now with 112 games left in a season, they would have to win 62 of them games, which means they could only lose 50 out of the next remaining 112 games. With the starting pitching with Wheeler and Nola, they don't look anything like they looked last year. Gibson's tearing it up, though, for Baltimore. And the fact they've changed the rules, the bases are bigger. They haven't taken advantage of the stolen bases with Baum, Stott, Marsh, and Turner, who can all fly. This is a tough ask here. They've struck out 450 times. They're not making contact. And Schwarber, you were talking about drinking beer. He could strike out, too. I mean, I got 62 strikeouts. It's just alarming, the whole thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, Tom, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. Hope you have a great weekend. You make great points. A lot of what Tom said isn't excuses. It's just kind of reality right there in front of you. But 62 and 50, that doesn't...
It's doable, but yeah. It needs to start pretty soon. I'd say, like, now.
The remainder of this series and then going to the Mets would be a great time for it to start.
Like, I'm pessimistic that they can even split now in Atlanta.
Well, we got a text last night from John Kincaid that said the Phillies are taking 3 of 4 from Atlanta.
That's not looking so hot.
Well, all you have to do is win three in a row.
Yeah. Including an undecided pitcher against Spencer Strider, who's up there in the Cy Young.
Yeah,
voting.
He's probably top three in Cy Young.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Strom on Sunday night, right?
It should be
possibly
Gary, but...
It should be, but
when
again,
did Covey throw?
Huh?
When did Covey throw?
Wednesday?
And he threw you 5 good innings. That was Wednesday, right? What's today, Friday?
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah, so then he's probably not available. Yeah, it'd probably be Strom. But Strom threw in that game, too. He just threw less. It could be a call-up. It could be Christopher Sanchez.
It could be Strom and... Is it Covey or Covey? I thought it was
Covey.
Covey. It
Covey
could be Strom and Covey again.
Broadcast.
Right?
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe. I'm sure Sunday Night Baseball is loving that. And we're bringing you Phillies-Atlanta, a replay of last year's playoffs, and we have no idea who's pitching for the Phillies.
I think they'll be all right with Strider and Harper, Acuna,
yeah.
Olsen.
There's that, too.
They'll be okay.
Yeah. Okay. This is 97.5 The Fanatic, the John Kincaid Show. When we get back, we have plenty more to talk about. Jamie's going to bring up a name that maybe not everybody loves in the Windy and what he has to say lately about the 76ers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.